This is the Astrology University podcast, helping you find inspiration, insight, and connection through the study of astrology. And I'm your host, Tony Howard. Well, hello, friends, and welcome to this episode of the Astrology University podcast. And I'm here with one of our faculty members, Stephanie Galing. Hey, Stephanie.
Hi, Tony.
Thank you so much for joining me today. It's always a pleasure. And I'm so excited to talk about your fabulous new book, The Complete Guide to Astrological Self-Care. If you're seeing this video, you can see the cover here. And if not, run out and look it up because it's gorgeous. It's your second new book in a short period of time, I just want to say congrats on that. And it is another gorgeous book. Your publisher is just doing such a nice job. And again, I'm just going to kind of open up. Oh, look what I magically opened up to, Virgo.
Look at that.
Yes, that was like pure magic, astro magic in action. So what you can see if you were seeing the video is the book is laid out beautifully, but it's also full of color and diagrams and icons, and the information is organized in really beautiful ways. I mean, as a Virgo, I really appreciate this a lot. So well done, well done. The book is also just a really great practical resource. It's full of so much great information and actionable tips that people can take. We'll get into some of the details in the book as we talk today, but can you just start by telling folks a little bit about your background in astrology and wellness and some of your interests so we can kind of glean where this information has come from?
Absolutely. Thank you. So my career has always been dedicated to helping people to access a deeper level of well-being. And as a Gemini rising, that has taken many different avenues. But two things were really consistent for many years now. One was myself as an astrologer, and the other was myself as a wellness consultant. And back in about 2008, I had an opportunity where that allowed those two paths to cross and to be woven together, which was the writing of my first book called Planetary Apothecary. And since then, you know, this ability and this passion of seeing how astrology is really critical and elemental to well-being, right? Whether we can say from the perspective of self-awareness and self-compassion is really at the undercurrent of health and wellness, but also based upon the traditional perspective of medical astrology, but really looking at that, not from a diagnostic perspective, but how do we use what we know about ourselves and our temperament to align and promote, you know, work with our allaying stress and things like that. So that allowed me to say, like, wellness consultant, astrologer, weaving them together. And so since that time, that's been the focus of my work in terms of counseling clients and teaching and, of course, writing.
And it was such, you know, so right on time for you to do that blending, because in the health and wellness field, I mean, having astrology as a resource to help tap into a more specific directed form of healing might look like for that specific person, kind of having the cliff notes there with the birth chart. That's a great resource.
Yeah. And that's how I felt too. Like, this was sort of the genesis of this for me was also when these came together was when, like, self-care became really prominent, right? And we were starting to take our well-being more into our hands. And yet there was so much information, and there still is, and there's so many different things you can do, how to create a resource that people could help to curate something that was much more personalized for them, right? That aligned with their temperament, that aligned with their stress, that aligned with the way that they process things emotionally. So, and you know, it's a very sort of simple approach in that, but it really allows people to tailor their self-care much more.
Beautiful. And so let's dig into some of the material in the book. And the largest section of the book goes through each of the signs. And if you could start by just telling people a little bit about what's in those sections. You go through health focus, nutrition tips, and even yoga poses. But can you tell folks a little bit about some of those things that they'll find in each of the sections?
Yeah, absolutely. So it opens up with talking about the sign from the perspective of how they may orient to wellness. What does wellness even mean, right? What also, based upon their proclivities, they may be looking for in a physician, a guide, a healthcare practitioner, like what will really work for them? From there, it then goes to areas of health focus, right? Looking at the traditional associations between the signs and the different parts of the body. The book then talks about different areas of health focus, you know, what you might really want to pay attention to based upon where the stress may arise for you. With my nutrition background, then I go into healthy eating tips for each sign and some foods that would be supportive. There's also a section on herbs. There's a section on spa treatments, relaxation practices, yoga poses, essential oils, supplements, and of course, one of my favorites, which is flower essences. Nice. And each of them has like three or four in each of those categories per sign.
And you just did a great webinar for us where you called out flower essences and their correlations with astrology. And so if people want to check that out, you can find that at Astrology University. But how might somebody, like, especially for a beginner who's getting this book and doesn't really know how to navigate their chart or how rulership works, for instance, how might you suggest they use that sign chapter?
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely look at your sun. And then, of course, if you know your moon and your ascendant. So why is that, right? The sun is an aspect and a reflection of our vital energy, right? Of our life force. So, of course, you want to read your sun chapter. But also in terms of the ascendant or the rising sign, right, is a character, you know, offers characteristics of our body, right? Our physical body and our structure, how we orient and carry ourselves through life. And then the moon reflecting that, you know, again, the container of our body, but and also how we orient emotionally, right? And it's really important. Health is not just physical, right? It's a union of mind and body and spirit. So what I would suggest is start with whichever one like you feel more oriented to. And just read through. I mean, I would definitely suggest starting at the beginning where you can read that overview around your relationship or the signs relationship to defining health and well-being. And then just go through it and see, you know, I'm a big advocate of see what resonates with you, right? Because also if you looked at all those three chapters, it might also seem like an overwhelming array of insights anyway, and things to do. But you may also see like, oh yes, in fact, I am a Taurus or I have a Taurus moon and my stress does live in my throat or in my neck or what have you. Okay. So you know that, then in that chapter, you can also find remedies that might help that. So you can also use it as a reference book. You know, I mean, it is definitely from an astrological perspective, but there is a lot of detail and a lot of richness in that book. So that's how I would do it. I would start with one, just read through. And then also what you might find is, oh, this is actually what's arising for me now. So this is really helpful for me now. I will go back to it because I may be moving through another aspect of my life where I'm digging into a different reflection of who I am. So that's how I do it. Sun, moon, rising, but in any order.
Thanks for that, Stephanie. And I love how you reminded me that it's a great reference book, because one of the things I wanted to say to folks today is that this book is written in a way that a person who's not an astrologer could use this book and feel not lost and very comfortable in it. But it's a great reference book for astrologers as well, because you've collected so much detailed info in each of the sections. So really great reference book for anyone. And again, full of actionable resources. Another thing I want to call out, not only are you giving, you know, yoga poses and flower essences and herbs and nutrition tips for navigating health, but you also include journaling exercises and reflection questions is how I was thinking of them. Well, it's just a really great resource, but it takes me into my next question, which was about the next section of the book where you talk about stellar life stages. So can you tell folks a little bit about your intentions there and what you're sharing, especially if somebody's kind of a beginner who doesn't even know what these life cycles are all about in astrology?
Yeah. So one of the, you know, what we know with astrology, right, is that your birth chart or any aspects of your birth chart give you insight into sort of the integral essentiality of who you are, right? Those signatures. And we can use astrology to see the unfolding of our life. Not, I'm saying that in a predictive way, but what's up for me right now, right? Like, what's this invitation for me right now? And for each of us, that is really unique. But there are also certain things, certain passages, certain life stages that we each go through pretty much at the same time, because they are related to the cycle of a planet. So for example, I think for most people, the most popular one or commonly known one is the Saturn return. Saturn takes 29 and a half years to return ish to its spot where it was. And so from, you know, 28-ish to 30, we move through our Saturn return. So everybody at that same part of their life will be moving through that. Now, granted, it's nuanced for everybody, depending upon the signs and the houses and et cetera, and how it works in your chart. But we all know that as we turn 30, right, we face issues related to owning our authority, being the author of our lives, you know, seeing where we might have had an inculcated perspective of that based upon society, and then saying, whose life is this, right? And there are perhaps crises of consciousness, there are shifts that we're make, we take responsibility, but this is something that we all move through. So we can look at our lives and see, okay, and you know, in my early 20s, I'm going through my Jupiter return. I know that this is what this time is inviting me into. At the end of my 20s, I'm going through my Saturn return, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it gives you both a way to sort of see this overview, but also when if you are going through one of these, or when sometimes you might be going through a few at a time, just to sort of anchor it and to understand, what am I supposed to be learning, right? And to have that sort of objective view so that you can meet and greet the experiences and the reflections that are arising for you with more consciousness. So I talk about that, but then I also give ways to support that, right? Like both perspectives and also what you can do from a wellness perspective, as well as journaling questions for each.
Right. Because like you pointed out, these are cycles and periods of time that are full of a concentrated kind of energy. And there are also cycles that we all go through at those specific stages of life, with some exceptions. And one of them, Pluto square Pluto, which is one of the cycles that you call out that is not always at the same time for every generation. So can you tell folks a little bit about why the cycle shifts over time for different generations?
Yeah. So Pluto spends different amounts of time in each of the zodiac signs, right? Therefore, when it moves the 90 degrees, right, when it's three signs away, that time differs depending upon where it was when you were born and the signs that it is traveling to. So for example, people my age and a few years younger, right, we had our Pluto square at like 36, 37-ish, 38. People now who are moving through their Pluto square are having it closer right in the beginning of their 40s. And then there's a generation like years and decades before, right, who have it in their 60s, right? So it's really interesting also to like look at that in terms of how it may appear in your generations and when it occurs and when you all move through that, especially in relationship to the other ones.
Right. And as part of the midlife transits, which include Neptune square Neptune and the Uranus opposition, for like you pointed out, for the generations right now and for our generation, those were all kind of together. The order is starting to shift a little bit, but pretty soon it won't be part of the midlife transits anymore.
Yeah, it's really interesting, right? Because I think about how like we had it and we moved through that deep dive, and then we had a couple of years, right, to then move into the sort of the shakeup of the Uranus opposition, and then that like recapturing of the dream of our life that the Neptune square offers us, right? But now people have them like pretty much one on top of the other.
Yeah. And one of the things I love about this chapter are those reflection questions, because you're calling out that there's a cycle that folks are going through during this time period. And of course you can use the internet to try to identify that for yourself there. If you Google any of the things in Stephanie's book, you can learn more about them through the magic of the interwebs. So you can find out if you're not an astrologer, you know, what I'm trying to say is you can find out if you're in one of these cycles. And then Stephanie's book is a great reference for what to think about and how to participate in that energy. And those reflection questions are so rich, because it's a time period that's, it's not just going to last for a weekend.
Right.
Right. And those reflection questions, you don't necessarily want to just answer in one day either. So they're really great guide, I think, to tap into the energy and be with it and be present with it and experience. So thank you for creating the resource. It's just a great resource on that level as well.
And then, can I say one thing about that?
Yeah, please.
Yeah. I mean, to me, I feel so passionate about the power
of a question, right? And that a question can be the Sherpa that guides you into that well of your, you know, inner wisdom. And even more powerful than a well-asked question is a well-asked, well-timed question, right? So this is the time to be digging into what this Pluto square is offering, right? So if you're having those questions as a guide, and while there's just a few lines in the book for each of them, like I would take them and I'd put them in your journal and return to again and again and again, so that you can see the unfolding that's occurring during this life passage.
Great advice. Yeah. Well, and then in the next section, you talk about the moon. Can you tell folks a little bit about what they'll find there?
Yeah. So it's first is just an introduction to lunar cycles, but then it speaks about all the 12 different new moons and the 12 different full moons, right? Because we know in general, a new moon is a time of beginning and it's people do intention setting and manifestation. A full moon is when they're, you know, things come to illumination and we're trying to integrate and synthesize apparent opposites. And yet each of the 12 new moons and full moons, when I say 12, right, there's an Aries new moon, a Taurus new moon, a Gemini moon, new moon, et cetera, with the full moons offer us a different opportunity to learn about a different realm of our lives. So in that I speak, I give affirmations. I talk about the challenges and opportunities for each, again, so that you are oriented to what is this moment inviting for you. And then there's also reflection questions for each of those as well.
Beautiful. And that takes us to our last section, which is on retrograde planets. I love that you included this because you start by kind of calling people's attention to the fact that we have created, as astrologers, we've created a bit of fear around retrogrades.
A bit.
And there's a little bit of negative press that people are tapped into and worried about. And Mercury retrograde is a phrase that has entered the public consciousness to some extent, but mostly from the perspective of being afraid of it. And you call out right there at the beginning that there are strategies for aligning with these energies, and the energies describe a certain part of a cycle. And so can you say just a little bit more about your intention for that?
Yeah, I mean, my intention for that too, right, was to demystify it, and demystify it in terms of that, you know, people hear retrograde and they think that it's negative, right? That thing, bad things are going to happen. Things are going to break, whether it's your computer will break or your relationship will break or something else will break. But that is not, in my view, what it offers, right? What it offers is, you know, as the planet is going back over territory that it has already traversed, we have the opportunity to review, to reassess, to reevaluate, to go back over and experience things that we may have missed the first time, right? Like skip steps, so that we have an additional layer of awareness. So to me, like, but it's important, right? It's not just like I'm going along normal. It's okay, I'm going to go slower. I am going to really connect to the power of the pause, you know, which I think those retrogrades give us. And I'm going to look at things from a different angle. And sure, like we may come out of a retrograde and see, this needs to change. This needs to shift, right? And there might be stress with that, but invariably it's for the affirmation of our life and living our life in true alignment with ourselves. So I speak about that. And then for each of the, and it's not all the planetary retrogrades, it's the personal planetary retrogrades, like it's Mercury retrograde, Venus retrograde, and Mars retrograde, speaking about them, what they are inviting us to experience. And then I give a meditation for each, a flower essence for each, a crystal for each. And then also there's reflection questions. And then I also talk about how to work with them in your dreams.
Awesome. Yes. And for those of you who don't know, I mentioned Stephanie's book that she released not too long ago, but it's on dreams and it's also quite excellent. Check it out if you're interested, as most of us who are into astrology are also into dreams. So some good crossover there. But I wanted to call out something you just said about the power of the pause. I love that phrase. Do you know Traeger work and body work, Stephanie?
No, I know of it, but I don't know the details of it.
So what's really interesting is it's a form of body work where you actually incorporate the wisdom of the pause into the body work. So you'll, as a body worker, you'll be doing a little bit of the work, and then you'll step back. You'll actually remove your hands from the person's body. And you, as the body worker, you're trained to sense the energy and to feel how long the pause needs to be. And it's kind of like a nice exhale. I mean, sometimes it's just the length of an exhale and sometimes it's longer, and you're just letting the body have a moment of integration. So you're doing the work, doing the work, doing the work, and then you let the work integrate. And it's just such a great rhythm. I think it's a natural rhythm that's embedded in life itself. And I think the retrogrades in astrology bring that to light as well. So that's such a great phrase. Well, thank you for joining me today. I want to just call out, if you would like to hear more from Stephanie and her great work, she has a category on Astrology University. So you can go to search by astrologer and find her category. And she has some webinars there, including self-care strategies for stellar life stages. So if you got interested by our talk about the life cycles and want to learn more about that, that would be a great choice. So thank you so much for joining me today, Stephanie. I really appreciate you taking the time out.
Thank you for this opportunity to talk about my work and to inspire people, I hope, about wellness astrology.
Awesome. Beautiful. And we will see you again soon, I'm sure.
Thank you.
All right. And until next time, take good care, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in to the Astrology University podcast. Study astrology online with some of the great astrologers of our time at www.astrologyuniversity.com, where we offer webinars, online classes, and virtual summits to bring you inspiration, connection, and insight through the study of astrology. Take good care, and we'll see you next time.